Welcome to the Meal Mentor Podcast. I'm your host, Lindsay S. Nixon, and this is a special birthday episode. It's my birthday, so happy birthday to me. And one of the ways I decided to make this episode different was I allowed you guys to interview me. So all of the Meal Mentor members submitted questions. They could ask me literally anything. So there's all kinds of topics coming up today. And just so it wasn't weird where I was interviewing myself, I've asked my husband, Scott, to read your questions. And I haven't seen any of them. They're all coming at to me for the first time here as we're recording. So it'll really be a kind of hot seat interview. But real quick, let me just say hi, Scott.
Hey, everyone. This is Scott, ready to help make this episode fun and interesting because there's a wide variety of questions, everything from favorite books to, you know, actual plant-based diet questions. So
yeah, it's going to be crazy. Lots of really cool topics. And like I said, I haven't seen any of them, but I've heard that there's some really curious ones in there from you and Carly. So I guess when you're ready, Scott, interview me up.
Okay. Money Laura in the forums asked, how long after adopting a plant-based diet lifestyle did you notice differences in your body?
I guess, you know, this is one of those questions everyone loves to ask, and it's such a hard one to answer. So right away, I went from a vegetarian to a vegan. And I wasn't necessarily plant-based in the sense I wasn't eating necessarily whole foods. As you probably remember living with me, I was eating a lot of like French fries and Boca burgers and pasta. And so it wasn't the healthiest, most ideal diet, certainly not reflective of how I presently eat. But even still, and I was a vegetarian, so I should preface that I was a vegetarian for a long time. But even still, I did notice changes. I started sleeping better. I, within probably the first week, stopped having a lot of stomach pain and other stomach issues that I'd had forever. I used to carry Tums around with me. And then after a while, I realized I hadn't had a migraine in a really long time. And as my husband will attest, I used to have migraines all the time. And I felt better generally. And then people started saying things like, wow, your teeth look really white, your eyes look really clear, your hair is super shiny. And I didn't necessarily notice these things about myself, but I'd say that was in the first month. So I definitely did see differences in my body right away, though I saw more differences later.
Specifically to the migraine thing, you probably haven't had a migraine in like 7 years, I'm guessing.
Yeah, at least.
It's been a long time.
Yeah, it's been a really, really long time. And even if I did get one, I think one or two that I've had in the last 10 years since I became vegan and then plant-based was both times related to consuming too much alcohol.
No. All right. So C. Adams says, I realized that my recent relapse was all a mental breakdown and feelings of depravity. How do you deal with the voices in your head when going oil-free and no vegan junk?
One thing that I think happens, the reason you can feel like you're being deprived is if you take on too much all at once. And so that's one of the reasons why our mantra is progress, not perfection. And one thing that's really helped a lot of members, and as well as myself and Scott, he'll say this helped him too, is sort of creating stepping stones, creating these rules, like taking one thing at a time. So for example, I didn't try to go 110 everything perfect right out the gate. Like I said, when I first started, I was still eating Boca burgers. I was still ordering French fries. But little by little, I made small improvements to get to where I am today. I didn't wake up one day and eat as well as I do now. This is 10 years in the process. This is 10 years of, okay, well, I've really nailed that. I'm no longer cooking with oil anymore. So now let me try to not, you know, buy stuff with oil, or, okay, now I'm not buying stuff with oil. I've got my brands down. I've got my home cooking down. Okay, now when I'm at restaurants, let me try to ask for things without oil. It was a progression. It wasn't this, okay, it's a day, 120%. That wasn't a realistic reality for me. I was still eating sugar. I've reduced sugar now to the point where I even use unsweetened ketchup, and that's within the last year. So if you feel like you're being deprived, it's probably because you're feeling also overwhelmed and you've taken on too much. Find your first rule. Okay, this month I'm not going to add salt to my food. And after the month is over, when you've nailed that, move on to the next. And you've kind of done that too, right?
Yeah. I mean, there's definitely been things that I take out of my diet, say like peanut butter or something. And it doesn't mean that I like never have it again, but it's like, So it's not a big deal if you have it again, or if you relapse, or you have, you know, you eat something that's not vegan. It's just like, you know, most likely when you rehab it, you're like, okay, it wasn't that exciting or that amazing. And so it's not a big deal to like kind of move on or just give it up again. And like, you know, I don't know. I just think that, you know, it's, you will, over time, you'll take stuff out and it'll feel better. And I don't know. I just think that don't like get over invested in like a single mistake or a week of mistakes or whatever.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's true. And that can also be a lesson. A lot of members say that all the time, like they went and they had something and they felt so awful. Like their body felt bad. They felt gross or bloated, or they were just like mad at themselves. And so they think about that and they don't do it again, because it was like, oh, I don't want to feel that way again. I don't want to have the bathroom episode or whatever. And I also like to tell myself, and this is something that's just worked so well for me, is it's not that I can't have something, it's that I choose not to.
Yeah. Mm. All right. So the next question is from Shelly Herbie on the forums. Can you hand out some tips for yoga on the go? And she specifically said, can you recommend doing maybe some poses that, you know, like 5 minutes here or there, or while you're cooking? And she also said, thank you for all you do. You've literally changed my world.
Mwah. Aw, so. Thanks, Shelly. You're so sweet. Yeah, so I am a huge fan of trying to slip things in. Yoga is the kind of thing where if you can give it more time, like even if you can just squeeze 10 minutes out and kind of give it more than just a minute here or there, it's fundamentally better for you. But of course, some is better than none. And so I would just say, do any pose that you can where you can. So for example, recently my husband and I were driving a really long distance in the car, and we were both sort of kind of getting jittery and just weird, and we had some anxiety and we were stressed, and Scott's like, let's just go do a headstand. And we straight up pulled into, I think it was like a Traveler's gas station, and we both did handstands against the side of the wall. And I'm sure every other person there thought we were crazy, but we felt about a billion times better. And that happens, you do that a lot, you just like randomly bust out like a handstand or a headstand because you like them.
Well, and downward dog too, you know, just holding that. That's a way to kind of like, whenever I played baseball, that was one of the things I was doing, was downward dog, just to kind of try to get some, like start building some heat up into my shoulders and getting kind of warm and stuff. Cause things like a push-up is too much. It's too much exertion if you're just trying to get warm. But like, you know, like throwing a baseball, you can only do that so much. And so, you know, it's just a good way to kind of like put a little bit of like stress and start working on getting built up. I think that's a great thing to do. You could do also do plank in your kitchen.
Would be great. You could do that. Or tree pose. Tree pose is great.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, planking is probably great because it's really good for building core and like arm strength and back shoulder strength and all that good stuff. So
I got into a really good habit where I would set a timer at work for 15 or 20 minutes, sort of depending on the day. And when it would go off, I would make myself do downward facing dog for a minute. And I ended up getting up to the point where I would do it for 5 minutes, which is a long time to hold it. But and even just doing, even if you're not doing a yoga pose, if you're cooking, if you're waiting for something to simmer for 2 minutes, you can do like arm circles or stretching. There's anything that you can do, or commercials. That's a good time to get up and do a downward facing dog is during a commercial break watching TV.
Yeah. We've also done it on airplanes, like downward dog. And
oh
stuff
my
like
God.
That.
Yeah. I do all the warrior poses on airplanes and the people just look at me, but I feel so much better because those seats are so uncomfortable.
Yeah. All right. So Love Horses has the next question. How often do you work out? How many races have you ran? And do you enjoy racing?
So I used to be a runner. I'm not anymore. I'm long retired. I will never run again. I ran a marathon. I trained for a second one, but then got injured. And that was it. I never ran anything, not even so much as a 5K. I just was balls to the wall and go big or go home and did a marathon and checked that box and was going to do another one with my husband, but got hurt. And that was it. I just stopped running. It wasn't really anything I ever loved, so I don't think that was the right sport for me. And then I found yoga, and I do yoga every single day. But my yoga it's not something that I do to work out. I don't even look at it as exercise or workout. For me, it's 100% about mental therapy. It's how I deal with my OCD and my anxiety, and it's that time for me to not work, to be with myself, to be present, to have gratitude, and to use my body. And the yoga that I do and my husband comes with me, I'd say of the 50 minutes we're in class, 35 of it's like a slow, gentle stretch, which is just, it just feels nice. And then on top of that, I try once or twice a week to go for a long walk or a hike with a friend. And it's just a way that I can see my friends without having to spend money or to drink or eat or anything. I just like to go hike. We have a lot of hiking trails here, so it's pretty nice.
Yeah. So Katie asked, what are some of your lines, as in like things that you say when you're trying to order oil-free in restaurants? Do you find that sometimes it, you know, just says, can you make it without oil, or, you know, that kind of stuff? And she also wanted to know, where did we come up with the names for Lily Bean and Quaid? Because she has pugs.
She does. And I'm so sorry our pugs haven't met, but eventually they will. So with the oil-free thing, one thing, I always look for things that seem like they could be made without oil. Like, I wouldn't see deep-fried spring rolls and ask if those could be made without oil. But I'll generally look for something that's fresh or that seems like it's sautéed. And then I'll ask, like, can this be made without oil? And sometimes they say no. And like, are you sure? Are you really sure? And they'll say something like, oh, it'll stick. But most of the time, I'm actually surprised how often they'll do it. And there seems to be this lingo in restaurants where they call it dry, like you want it dry. And I also find that's true of salad without dressing. And I got this from Denny's. We stopped at a Denny's and I was like, so that's like potato thing, can it come without an egg? And can you make it without oil? And they're like, oh, you want a dry fry? And I was like, dry fry? Well, this just changed my life. But mostly I find places are pretty accommodating. And I've not done this myself, but Dr. Esselstyn will like stand up and be like, you there, one drop of oil, I'm allergic. And that seems to distill fear, but I'm not quite as a commanding presence as Dr. Essie.
Yeah. So,
The pug names.
Yeah, the pug names.
So Quaid, I was in law school and I was reading a legal case. And to this day, I can't remember anything about this case or even enough to look it up. But somebody's name was Quaid in the legal case. And I came home and was like, I've got it. I've got a name. And unfortunately, people think we named him after Dennis Quaid, which we definitely did not. And
not that there's anything wrong with
him. It's just I would not name my dog after.
We just didn't name him an after him.
But, yeah. And then Lily Bean, we knew we wanted something really girly, and we were definitely leaning towards like flowers. And I think we were walking down the street and Scott saw lilies and was like, oh, I like Lily, but Lily just didn't seem enough.
Yeah, we kind of wanted something silly and, you know, something that wasn't obviously a dog name. I don't know. I feel like, you know, you can be a little more fun with dog names.
And so. her middle name is Andalusia, so it's a mouthful compared to
her first
name.
And it also creates, I call her Baby Bean often.
Yeah.
Because she is the baby, and I don't know, it's just one of those things. It's like having those two names, it can be fun.
And she was born in New Hampshire, but we were living in Boston, and so, you know, Bean Town, I guess. That's a little bit of a play.
Yeah, that I think that probably had some subtle influence on that. We've had a couple of questions about breakfast recipes.
That's already been answered.
Yeah, well, I just figured it would be a good time to just talk about the breakfast recipes. If I don't know.
There's the big breakfast book on people's dashboard, and you can find it there for lots of really yummy breakfast ideas. We find that most of our members kind of have their own routines around breakfast, and there's quite a different, you know, some people like savory, some people like sweet, some people love oatmeal, some people hate oatmeal. It's really interesting to see how people interact over breakfast. I like to eat potatoes at breakfast, which some people think is weird, although some members have now joined me in my love of potatoes at breakfast.
Sweet potatoes, good at breakfast.
Yeah, right? It's delicious.
Because it's sweet. Would you ever be interested in organizing a conference for Herbies? This question is from Jamie Baker. in the forums.
We've looked into it so many times. It's just so cost prohibitive, and it would just be so incredibly expensive for attendees. And I don't know that I would feel good about it. I speak at conferences all the time, and I always enjoy myself, but I always kind of think a little bit like, I'm glad I didn't have to pay to be here because they're so expensive that I would want it to be almost a vacation and not a conference so that people could bring their children and, it really feel like a vacation where we're just hanging out and not learning, but they seem to be expensive and Team HH is pretty small, and I don't know that we even have the manpower to do it, even with volunteers.
Yeah, we would
maybe
have to,
someday.
We would have to hire somebody to organize it because it's not anything anybody that works at Happy Herb War has ever done.
Yeah, Lauren and Carly are amazing and probably pull a rabbit out of their hat.
We're pretty busy as it is, even without having to do a conference. So, all right. So Lisa Rome says, do you ever cheat on your Whole Foods plant-based diet? And if so, on what? And how have you ever put out recipes that you personally dislike? If so, name one. And there's a third question. If your kitchen seems so clean and organized on your YouTubes, is it always that clean? I'd love a picture of, do you test cook everything and does it happen at your house?
Okay. So the first question was, do I ever cheat on my healthy Whole Foods plant-based diet? I am always vegan. That's just like, I won't eat animal products, but, so we were just in Vegas. It was my parents' 45th wedding anniversary, which is pretty incredible. And my birthday is also coming up, and Scott just had his birthday. And so we went to a really nice restaurant, and they had a lot of vegan stuff, and there was a vegan brownie on the menu. And anyone who's ever heard my podcast knows how much I love brownies. And so I did share a vegan brownie with my parents and my husband, which, of course, I'm sure was not Whole Foods plant-based compliant at all, but it was delicious, and it was a special occasion. And so I'll definitely have those kinds of things, like once in a blue moon. At the movies, sometimes Scott and I will get red vines, but we don't make a habit or a routine of eating, like, say, vegan junk food. But if we go to a Dodgers baseball game or a Red Sox baseball game, and, you know, we only go to maybe two a year or three a year if we're really lucky, I'll definitely throw down and have a tofu hot dog. But it's all about, and it just makes it more special when you do it that way. But on a day-to-day basis, we eat pretty consistently well, the best that we can. When we're traveling, sometimes it can be a little hard in oil or salt or sugar or something like that slips in a little more than we would like. But I think after almost a decade, we've kind of narrowed it down to be really sort of good. And I think the other question was if I disliked anything.
If you had any recipes that you personally disliked.
Well, interesting enough, there's actually a lot of recipes in my cookbooks and in the meal plans that I can't eat. I'm allergic to cauliflower and broccoli, but I didn't want to deprive the rest of the world. So for example, everyone I know, and my husband's nodding because I know he thought of this instantly, was the cauliflower hot wings that everyone loves and I've never even tasted, but I get joy watching other people enjoy them. I can't think of anything that I didn't personally like that
you dislike eggplant, and that has a massive effect on the
but there is an eggplant parmesan.
I'm not saying that there's not eggplant recipes, it just means that there's almost no recipes with eggplant.
However, we recently did a ratatouille that had eggplant in it that I loved. So I ate it. I think it's because I couldn't really tell that there was eggplant in there. But that is true. That is true. So I guess anything with eggplant.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it.
She also wanted to know if you always keep your kitchen so clean, and do you always test cook in your kitchen?
We don't always test cook in my kitchen. Other people who work on at Team Happy Herbivore will often test in their kitchen. Our photographer uses her kitchen, so it's not always mine, but a lot does happen in my kitchen. And when I was writing cookbooks, my kitchen was a disaster, and we actually have posted pictures of how bad it got. But on a day-to-day basis, I pretty much clean as I go. And what you see happen in the live cooking videos is what my kitchen looks like even when I'm cooking. So there is a little bit of a pileup, but then it's clean. And I think that's just me being super OCD. Like, I have to know where things are. And if I have like 20 things piled up on the counter, I can't find it. And then it's stressful.
Yeah.
So, but I'm obnoxious about cleaning the kitchen. Scott will attest that it's like 9:30 at night and he's like, I want to go to bed and I'm cleaning the kitchen.
She says, what is your biggest pet peeve? And maybe it should be probably related to cooking and food.
My biggest pet peeve? With food? I don't know.
Maybe more about like, if I was going to make a suggestion on something that we talk about a lot, it's self-defeating language that people use to talk about themselves. That is a very thing that definitely like that we get frustrated with is the number of people that are using like negative self-talk, like I can't do this. I need to eat like vegan junk food. I need to eat peanut butter. I need to have, you know, alcohol every night. I need to cheat like with like
that take power away from themselves.
Instead of owning their own actions and decisions, they externalize they externalize it and they say, well, it's family and social or whatever. And so I think that might be a company pet peeve is the frustration with the number of people saying that that they don't have control over their choices.
Oh, I hate stickers on produce and fruit. Ooh, that makes me so mad, especially when it's organic. There you go. Oh my God, I hate it so much.
It took her a little while.
Oh, I knew something was going to come. It makes me angry. Yeah. I also get really mad when things expire before the expiration date, but that's not a pet peeve as much as the stickers. I hate the stickers.
Yeah. Camille wants to know, in the forums, wants to know, how did you finally let go of the need to eat meat?
Satiate
yourself? I'm not really sure.
You almost should answer this better than me. So I never really liked meat. I never found meat particularly satiating. One thing I have found and heard in helping, you know, hundreds of people is that people often talk about this certain level of fullness when they eat meat. And what I think it is meat's very heavy and it feels like this big dead brick in your body. And you just don't get that with eating plant foods because they're a lot lighter. And I find most people come to really like the feeling of light, not feeling like full and needing to take a nap after a meal. Like Thanksgiving, everyone wants to sleep. But if you eat satiating foods, like there's no food more satiating than a potato. On the satiation scale, I think a potato is 323% and no other food even kind of comes close to that. So if you're not feeling satiated, definitely eat a potato. But I mean, about this all the time because you're a big meat guy. I was a vegetarian most of my life.
Well, the one thing that I felt very early on was like whenever I would look at my plate, especially when we would cook at home, I would feel like there was something missing. Like there would be potatoes and like, you know, like two veggies or something like that. I felt like there was something missing from my plate, even though I had a full plate. And I think for me, it was eventually just getting past looking for it. And it was, I would say that I had more trouble like, feeling satiety whenever if the food wasn't really heavy. So if I was just eating like a salad, it took some, you know, maybe a year or two before I really got into like being able to eat salad and feeling satiated from eating a salad.
Well, it's important that what you're putting this on, if you just eat a bowl of lettuce, you're not going to feel very satiated.
Well, I mean,
you got to put all your stuff in there.
I can't.
You can?
I'm
a pig. But I need to put like zucchini or potato rice or beans or something in there too.
You know, if there's tomatoes and lettuce and shredded carrots in there, that ends up being enough for me.
Carrots are pretty starchy.
I think you get a little overblown with the amount of like heaviness that your stomach needs to feel full or something. So,
yeah.
Question. Sam asked, who are your non-HH sources for recipes and inspiration?
I'm surprised this is just not coming up. Everyone always likes to know what my inspirations are. All right. So when I was writing cookbooks, I would often think of something that I used to really like before I was plant-based. And I would try to recreate a healthy plant-based version of it, or I would see something like on the Food Network or in a magazine or at a restaurant and be like, wow, that sounds really good, but it's, you know, beef. So let me go home and try to make a plant-based version. And since then, you know, you'll request things. Carly will request things. Lots of members will request things. They'll send in things like, for example, Siri is amazing. And she's originally from India. And so she's like, you know, I really miss the food of home. And so we've been trying to do some Indian recipes for her. And there have been other people who are like, I'm originally from Japan or Germany or whatever. My mom's German. And so we just kind of work off of those inspirations. And sometimes we'll just, me or someone on Team Happy Herbivore, like Carly, for example, we'll just like go and like look at food porn websites and be like, that looks really awesome. And it's of course like pork or something. So then we're like, let's see if we can do it with white beans. And yeah, so it's kind of a mix. Oh, and when I was writing cookbooks, there was tons of times where I would just stand in the kitchen with a pumpkin and like, we're going to make this happen. You, me, can of pumpkin, we're going to find a recipe. And actually, it's those recipes that I think are the best and often the most popular. Like, everyone's obsessed with the cheddar pad thai and the chickpea tacos. And both of those came to be because I had no other ingredients and I needed to write a recipe to meet a deadline.
Yeah.
So
the next question is from, looks like Dash's girl in the forums. Since it's your birthday, what will you eat on the big day? Will you have dessert?
So on my actual birthday, I always ask Scott to make cinnamon raisin biscuits, which I think are from Everyday Happy Herbivore. And he makes this for me every year on my birthday. For my birthday, like sort of celebration, which is 2 days later, I'm actually having a party and tons of our friends are coming, including new friends who I don't think they even know that we're plant-based. And then there's some other friends who know we're plant-based, make fun of us for it, and have never had my food before. And so I am not sure what I'm going to make yet, but I'm definitely going to be making stuff to make them all eat their words.
Yeah, the cheese ball is always...
Yes, the cheese ball is always... I can't have a party without Scott being like cheese ball. And Carly will no doubt be like, oh, cauliflower hot wings.
Yeah, hot wings.
She'll request that. But I do think... Oh, there will be a dessert. I don't know what I'll make. Probably, I don't know. Maybe I'll make my cheesecake. I don't know. It's funny. Last year, I made the rum... For the last 5 years, I've made the rum cake. So that might happen again. But we have some friends who can't have alcohol, so I might have to make two desserts. Woe is me.
Okay, so the next question is from Jill. She said, I believe you deal with allergies in your household. I want to say broccoli and beans. Beans and broccoli are often on the meal plan, so I'm curious how you tweak those to suit your needs. Do you just skip the bean salads or substitute something else?
Yeah, we definitely have a lot of salads, substitutes and allergies in our family, and even with Team Happy Herbivore, for example, one of our employees cannot have wheat under any circumstances or she'll break out in a rash. And then I'm allergic to broccoli and cauliflower, which is tragic and comical. And another employee can't have anything that's like caffeinated, so like no coffee or chocolate, stuff like that. So I'm always kind of tweaking based on those things. And my sister can't have black pepper. And then my father has heart disease, so he has to have, you know, really low sodium, really low fat. But basically with the broccoli and the beans, for broccoli, I almost always use green bell peppers instead of broccoli. It works in almost every recipe. But it does depend on the recipe how I'm going to like tweak something out. And that's sort of with the beans. When we can't have beans or some kind of a legume, I will omit it and add something else. Sometimes I'll do a substitute. It really does depend on the recipe. But it's been surprisingly easy for me to tweak meal plan recipes to not include the various allergens, whatever I'm trying to accommodate. And with the wheat one, we always offer a gluten-free option, so that's really easy. And there's always the low fat that we use with my dad. But then, like, my mom can't have soy, and so I'm always using the soy-free option for her. And like a friend of ours is allergic to quinoa. And so I've been finding new ways to sort of get around that too with rice and just kind of chopping it up. But yeah, I find you can pretty much work around anything. And we have some members who have even more allergies than us, have like 20 and 30 allergies. And it's amazing to see the substitutes that they do.
Yeah. Yeah. Very cool. There's one of the local restaurants here that has a lot of vegan options has this new stuff. It's not that new, I guess, but sorghum. And so that's
sorghum flour.
That's it's a good, they actually have the, they actually
serve. Oh, they use the little, like the bean thing?
Yeah. Oh. So That's an interesting like substitute if you can't have beans, which, you know, is actually a lot of people that have problems with beans.
Yeah.
You know, maybe you don't like rice or whatever, but yeah. So it's an interesting option because it's kind of nutty flavor.
Yeah, that's
so
really cool.
It's kind of almost like a... It's kind of almost like it has like a quinoa taste, but is like, you know, like more the size of like, I don't know, like risotto or something. I don't know. It's hard to like explain.
And if you can have corn
or a pea, actually,
you could do hominy instead of beans.
Yeah.
But we have a corn allergy, so that's not an option for us. But hominy definitely works in place of corn. And then also, if you can have nuts and seeds, that's always a great option of using like a walnut or a cashew or a sesame seed or a sunflower seed instead. It's definitely workaroundable.
Oh, puppy. Little puppy accident. She wants to come up. So
come on, baby.
She can sit on my lap while we finish this interview.
I know.
I get scared of her as much as anything. All right. So on Facebook, Celeste wants to know, what is the most memorable new food you have tried?
And is that a good or a bad? probably the most memorable was the first time I tried a fresh persimmon. And part of that was because I was traveling internationally, but it was so good. But also at the same time, like I never liked cantaloupe. Then we had cantaloupe in Belize and I felt like I was eating cantaloupe for the first time. That was amazing. But maybe the most memorable and is the worst, which is durian, which tastes like onion. And I got durian ice cream because everyone told me I would love it. And I'm sorry, onion ice cream is gross. And then that flavor did not leave my mouth for like 3 days. It's awful. Definitely most memorable and not a good way. what about you?
I mean, kombuchas or kombucha squashes are pretty amazing.
So good.
But I think that this is one that probably you haven't talked about very much. But the chermoyas.
Oh my God, the chermoya.
It basically, when it's at a certain, when it's at like the perfect ripeness, it the flesh, so the outside of the chermoya is like green. But when you open and cut into the flesh, it's white. And it literally tastes like cotton candy when you eat it.
Yeah, that's so good.
There's like kind of big seeds in there, but they're actually pretty easy to eat around.
And it's like a custard almost with the texture. Yeah. And speaking of cotton candy, there were those cotton candy grapes last year I got for the Team Happy Herbivore that were amazing too.
It's like kind of a limited time.
Yeah, those are really good too. But it's also funny too because I spent my whole life hating onions and mushrooms, and I love onions and mushrooms. And I also spent my whole life hating mustard. And as everyone knows, I have 20 different flavors of mustard in the house. Actually, we just moved into a new place, and I unpacked mustard and hot sauce before anything else, including towels. Yeah.
I mean, we've been at this for a number of years, right? Like, I guess you've been a vegetarian for how long?
10 years.
10 years. And, you know, we're still discovering new stuff. So curious.
Chermoyas is a new discovery. So.
If you're curious and a little adventurous at times, you know, you have the option, or the ability to discover some new cool stuff.
Oh, and lychees. We just had those when we were in Asia last year, and it looked like an eyeball.
They're kind of a pain to eat. So yeah. I think that's one.
I was certain somebody was giving me an eyeball, but it was a fruit.
Yeah.
So there, yeah. There was some really interesting vegetables we ate there. I don't even know what they were called that were delicious.
All right. So, anyway. So on Facebook, Sarah asked, are there any foods in your older cookbooks that you wouldn't recommend now?
I don't think so. I mean, so one thing is in, I think, the Happy Herbivore cookbook and also in holidays, there's like one or two recipes where I use vegan cream cheese. And obviously that's not the healthiest food. And I wouldn't recommend it on a day-to-day basis. But if you're making a vegan cheesecake once a year, you know, at Christmas time, I think that's fine. So it's not that I don't recommend it. It's just I would not recommended as an everyday food as, say, kale or apples. And then one thing is I stopped using textured vegetable protein after my first book. And part of the reason why I stopped using textured vegetable TVP, we'll just call it TVP, one of the reasons I stopped using TVP when I wrote my second cookbook is because we were living on an island and it wasn't available to me. And so I stopped using TVP. And then now I just don't use it because it's a little too processed. However, same is true. If once in a blue moon you want to make bacon bits or some kind of a meaty chili for a potluck, especially feeding omnis, I still use it sometimes when we're having big potlucks like Super Bowl. I took a big, big batch of it with TVP in it. So there's not anything I wouldn't recommend, but there are definitely things where I'd say use more sparingly.
Yeah, like more like once a year,
twice a year. Yeah, once or twice a year, it's fine. Like I said, I make my cheesecake every year on Christmas for my family, and it's like the one time the whole year we have cheesecake. And even then, it's like tofu, a little bit of vegan cream cheese, and some graham crackers. I mean, we could be doing a lot worse. But it's once a year on Christmas, and it's kind of special, so...
In a similar vein, Gina asks, what do you do differently now that you once encouraged and now do not do?
I wasn't encouraging eat vegan cream cheese every day. I used to encourage exercise and I don't now. And I think it's what it was is I really kind of believed what everyone always says, which is diet and exercise, diet and exercise, diet and exercise. And I do think that exercise has a lot of merits. But I also think that we need to view exercise as not just these Herculean efforts that happen in a gym. You exercise when you play with your kid. You exercise when you cook. You exercise when you wash your car. You exercise when you clean your house. You exercise when you fold laundry. Like I think my kind of viewpoint of that's really changed. And also in the last couple of years, seeing how often exercise causes members to plateau or not lose weight. And part of it is they think they burn way more calories than they really do because our bodies are a Prius or not a Hummer. And also often when we suffer, we reward ourselves. You know, if people will think, oh my gosh, I went on this 3-hour bike ride, I'm going to go have an ice cream.
And it doesn't work. These are examples to refer back to the pet peeve I was talking about earlier of self-defeating behaviors and mentalities
and I see it on Instagram all the time. Like, I was a killer leg day at the gym. And so they're eating like 2 brownies and some ice cream. And I'm like, there's no way under any circumstances that you burned as many calories as you just ate. And I self-sabotaged myself. I would work out and think I worked out so hard and I was such a superstar. And so I could eat so much more, but I couldn't. And that's why I never would lose any weight.
I feel like your general feeling about exercise is that if you have bad eating habits or compulsions, like maybe like you're still doing these things like allowing exercise to help, you know, like using exercise as an excuse to overeat, I feel like that's, you want people to focus on getting their diet and habits and lifestyle under control first.
Right.
And then when they're ready to go, start trying to exercise if that's something they want to do.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely more powerful, like lifting the fork to the mouth than lifting the bicep. And a lot of times too, I would see people with like, okay, I'm going to eat a cookie and I'll just work it off tomorrow. And it's like, you can't really run off the jelly donut. It's all about diet. It really is. And when people ask me how I got my abs, it's that they were made in the kitchen.
I mean, you do yoga at least once a day and sometimes occasionally twice a day. And everybody eats way more than 3 times a day.
Yeah.
You know, so like, where do you think you're going to have your impact? It's going to be in the eating part, not the exercise part.
So. And I actually, it's so funny because people always be like, oh, well, you do yoga. And I'm like, but I've actually measured myself and I burn anywhere between 80 and 150 calories when I do yoga because I'm just sitting there stretching. I would burn about that many if I just sat here. that's not the secret.
Yeah.
It's really the food.
So Samantha on Facebook wants to know, what does a typical day look like for you?
A typical day. Okay, so I wake up really early, I would say 5:30. And if I can, I meditate for like 10 minutes, but sometimes I elect to sleep for those 10 minutes. And then I usually get up and, I wake Scott up and we feed our dogs and take them for their walk and then go to yoga class. I take yoga at 6:15 or 6:30, depending on the day. And then most days after yoga, I come home and get to work. But there are a couple of days during the week where I'll have like a business lunch or I'll stay after and have a tea or something with the other people in my class, just, you know, to be social. But that I'm usually home by like 7:30 or 8. And then I, you know, hit the ground running and I'm working and Team Happy Herbivore shows up. And so we kind of work all day and we take our lunch breaks together. Usually we usually all eat together, at least eat in a vicinity of each other. And often talk about things, strategize things. And then I usually quit around 5 or 6 and well, then it's time to feed and walk the dogs again. And if I'm really, 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 really stressed out, I'll hit an evening yoga class. But I usually just, at that point, I reheat something for us to eat for dinner. And then after we eat dinner, we usually go back to work because we're workaholics and work for another hour or two. And then I usually stop and I either play my flute. I just picked my flute back up recently. It was this big thing where I kept having all these musical people in my life and I meditated on it and decided I regretted giving up the flute 20 years ago. So I picked the flute back up recently. And so I play that or I'll practice French. And then usually by the time it's like 9 o'clock, Scott and I are either in bed reading or there's a handful of TV shows we watch or our friends are on them because we live in LA. And so we watch and then we fall asleep and start all over. Food's, I just follow the meal plans. I usually eat after yoga because I don't like to eat beforehand. I tend to throw up. And I only eat pretty much 3 meals a day. I try not to snack because as soon as I start eating, we joke about it. You rev the engine and then like the hunger monster comes out to play. And Scott and I both do much better letting ourselves be hungry and being like, wait, you're going to be okay. You're going to be okay. Dinner's going to come. Dinner's going to come. Okay. Now it's time to eat. And then stopping. I do on a daily basis though. It's very embarrassing that I eat at least 3 potatoes. Maybe 2 if they're big, but I ate a lot of potatoes with my meals.
So the next question is Katie, and she wants to know, how do you stay so positive?
How do I stay so positive? I guess I realize there's nothing positive that comes out of being negative.
I would think
I'm just an optimistic person.
Well, you use yoga to help.
This is true.
Center you. And meditate.
That really does give you gratitude. Yeah.
Yeah. And use some of the meditative stuff to help, you know, like
ban off the
even out life, right? Yeah. You know,
I guess I just rally against all the darkness out there, because especially because I lived in it for so long. I want to be a positive message. I don't want to be a negative. Like, I think that was something that really turned me off when we first went vegan, how like, I'm like militant, you're not vegan enough and all that stuff. It really turned me off. And I was like, can't we all be accepting and not treat this as a cool club that excludes people? Can we be more inclusive? And I think I just, that really stayed with me, especially because I never like fit in when I was growing up. I kind of knew people and everything, but I never really belonged to something. And it really makes me crazy when people try to like exclude, I think.
Yeah.
So I just try to cultivate this positive place where anyone can feel welcome, because that's where I want to go.
Your whole focus is helping people eat healthy.
Yeah.
And it doesn't really fit in with helping people to spend a lot of time kind of being, I don't know, negative or it's not.
I actually, you know, I need to give JP credit for this, John Pierre. So a mutual friend of John Pierre's and mine got this email. It was so mean. I wanted to cry. Like her customer's email to our mutual friend, who will just call Betsy, was so mean. Betsy showed it to JP and me at the same time. And she was basically trying to ask us for advice, like what to do about this cruel customer email. And I was like flying off into defense mode and being like, what an awful person, you know. And JP just kind of sat there and he was super quiet. And finally we were like, do you not have anything to say? And he's like, wow, that customer just must be in so much pain. And I was like, oh my God, you're right. Like, what kind of horrible pain must this person be in to write an email like that to Betsy? And I guess it's just stayed with me. And that's even how I see trolls now on the internet. I'm like, I just feel sad for them. Like, I just want to give them a hug. Yeah. And it's like, it's profoundly changed me. it doesn't even, it's like, I just feel sad for you. Do you need a hug? Do you need more love in your life? Is your love tank not full? That was an inside joke. You were supposed to laugh.
All right. I'm just trying to get the, is there a particular one? Oh, how do you stay resilient regarding food sensitivities and allergies? That's from Stacy on Facebook.
Well, one thing is like, so with food allergies and sensitivities, like, I feel like you can't kind of waver on them. It's like, they're, it's not like you can't cheat on it. Like, I can't cheat on eating broccoli. Let me make this clear. I love broccoli. I think it's delicious. I see broccoli and I desperately want to eat it. Broccoli does not share love for me. Broccoli does not love me back. And I, there's no wishing that to be different. There were years where I was like, let me try it steamed. Let me try it raw. Let me try it sprouted. Let me try it organic. I finally came to a place where I was like, you know what? I can't eat broccoli. And it was hard and it was sad and I cried over it. But for me, I just know that I'm going to feel so bad for so many days if I eat it. And so it's just not going to happen for me. And recently, Scott actually found out that he has some sensitivities. So there's foods that he really should not eat if he doesn't want to feel well. And he has marveled at how much better he feels now that they're not in his diet. And then he went and had some and was like, yeah, I feel really awful. And I felt really bad for him. But I think when it comes to allergies and sensitivities, you just come to this point where you're like, it's not worth it. And it's different than preferences, of course. If you just don't like something, you just don't like it. But which is hilarious because I actually was just at a restaurant and they asked us if we were allergic to anything. And I was like, I'm allergic to broccoli. And they were like, allergic or sensitive? And I was very confused, but I realized that he meant like, allergic as in, am I going to go into anaphylactic shock or am I sensitive in that I'm going to have some kind of a reaction? And it made me think, oh, that's right. Allergies, true allergies are like the anaphylaxis situation. Otherwise, it's a sensitivity if we're being technical. But for me, and as this list of foods I cannot eat has grown longer, I have found it's so much better to focus on all the foods that I can eat, all the foods that are still available to me, and not just sit there and think about what's off limits to me. And that really changed a lot. So I had E. coli a little while ago, I guess four years now. And ever since then, I've had a really hard time eating beans, really hard time eating beans. And I just kind of would be sad. Like, I would be like, what? Life without hummus? And now I'm just sort of like, but there's so many other things I can eat. You know, when we think of all the vegetables, like the produce section is mine. Well, except for the broccoli and cauliflower. And you've kind of been that way too. You just reveled in, and you found new things you liked a whole lot.
Yeah. I mean, eating bagels, rather than eating cream cheese, I found that if I put pizza sauce on the bagel, it was basically like almost like a zero calorie addition. That gave me a very similar, like, you know, like it added flavor on top of something I really already enjoyed because I love pizza as well. It kind of worked well. Mm-hmm. I just, you know, that's just one of the things that I thought was worked really well. And so, just kind of trying to modify or alter things very slightly. It was really good for me, you know? Mm-hmm. All right. So the next question from Audrey, what makes you the proudest of all the things you have created?
I think just the Happy Herbivore community. They're so amazing. All the Herbies are so amazing. All of our members are so amazing. I love our VIP Facebook group for the annual members. It's just every day. It's just a breath of fresh air to see so many people that are supportive without judgment and just want to help other people succeed. It's beautiful in an environment called the internet that's so negative and
bringing together similarly minded folks, and they're able to meet and kind of connect and, mm-hmm. and develop friendships kind of even outside of the forums and the specific, you know, plant-based lifestyle, you know?
And so. I mean, I know I can take credit for it, but I at the same time, I can't. It was when my parents went plant-based. I mean, yes, I kind of instilled into them the information and the wisdom, and I encouraged them, and they used my recipes. But at the end of the day, it was them. They were the ones that chose every meal, every day to be plant-based. They're the ones that live it and cook for themselves. But them going plant-based is definitely probably one of my more prouder things, but also to just like the stories that we get to hear on Herbies of the Week or even on the podcasts of just how much people's lives changed for the better. Even when if it's a small change, it's still just awesome. And it's awesome to have even the tiniest part of that. It's really magical, but yeah. And my books are kind of like my kids. I feel like, you know, each one was an individual that I birthed.
Well, so the way I think about it a lot of times, and what I'm really proud of it, of Lindsay and kind of my involvement and everybody who's helped with Happier War over the years, is that, so we're helping people eat better. And so what you eat becomes part of you, you know, because it's like what you eat becomes your cells and your bones and your blood and your heart and all that stuff. It all becomes a part of you. And kind of making that connection early on was something that was really interesting to me. And so I know that the work that we do every day, helping people eat healthier, helping people kind of navigate life, I think that every person we touch, even if we only touch their life for like a month and then they fall back off the wagon, we've done something to improve their life, at least for that month or whatever. And so I think, and every night people, you know, sit down and they make a recipe that you created or helped bring them to, and it has an impact on their life. And, you know, it's a lot of people will start businesses saying they want to change the world and stuff like that. And, you know, one of the most impactful things that you can do is changing what people are eating, right?
Yeah, so, absolutely.
So, yeah.
Yeah. It's a lot of warm fuzzies working crappy before. But no, it does. And, you know, just it's so far reaching because with the choices we make, like you said, with the food we eat, you know, we're not just living better, like we feel better, but then we can better serve our community because we feel so good. And, you know, there's less environmental impact and, you know, the plight of farm animals and even just knowing that there's less food waste. It's just, it's really nice. It's really, it's something that I guess we're really passionate about and we believe in.
Okay. And next question is from Mandy. And she wanted to know, how did you start Happy Herbivore? What were the beginnings? Was it just a blog, just recipes?
When I first started Happy Herbivore, it was kind of, I guess, a food blog, like a food journal blog, because I had recently gone vegan and I had also read The Starch Solution and Eat to Live. And so I had eliminated oil and there weren't any vegan cookbooks. There was like one or two at the store, but they were full of oil and all these other weird ingredients that I was trying not to eat. And so I started kind of chronicling what I was making and feeding myself, thinking, well, maybe there's someone else out there that might be trying to eat this way and they don't know what to eat either. And we can share ideas. And then I would share more information because I was constantly reading things. You know, I read the China study. I just kept reading, learning. And I was sharing it. And then I started trying to cook for myself from scratch, like trying to figure out meals. And so recipes started appearing. And my blog just kind of picked up and the recipes were infinitely more popular than the information. So I just kept writing recipes and eventually, maybe a year or two down the line, I met my publisher, my former publisher, and I wrote my first book and it was an instant hit, thankfully. And then I wrote many more books and along the way, the meal plans were born and I guess Happy Herbivore has shifted a lot. I mean, it was a blog for a long time. It was a recipe database. It was my kind of personal space. It's just, there's been a very long evolution of Happy Herbivore, but she was officially incorporated, what, 3 years ago?
Yeah.
3 years ago, Happy Herbivore left me. It was no longer me being the Happy Herbivore, but Happy Herbivore became an actual corporation and I became a CEO and it wasn't just my internet handle. And now we have a team behind it. And I don't know. Happy Herbivore has grown so much beyond me and she's awesome. And she's full of all these amazing people online and the Herbies and the little elephant that we all love. So, yeah.
All right. So the next question is from Lauren. How did you get the courage and make the decision to leave your corporate job and follow your passion? And when did you know you had made the right decision?
You know, I don't know that I had courage as much as I just could not go to work that day. I couldn't do it. I couldn't physically make myself do it. And like being homeless and destitute and broke on the side of the street seemed better. Like I couldn't do it. And so I just jumped, you know, and I don't know that I recommend the whole sink or swim jumping without a parachute thing, but that's what I did. I just couldn't do it, not for one more day. And when did I know I made the right decision? I don't know. I mean, there was a lot of struggles. There were so many years where we were so, so broke and it was so hard and I didn't know how I was ever going to make it work. And I thought it was just never going to take off or do anything or I don't know, but I was determined, I guess. I persevered. And then I think for me, I was like, you know what? I would do this even if I will continue to do this even if I'll never make money. Because that's what I was doing is I was working a full-time job. I was working as a freelancer to pay my bills while trying to grow Happy Herbivore. And it was like two 50-hour a week jobs. And I was like, something's got to give eventually. And fortunately, it did. And I guess every day I'm just thankful. Every day I have gratitude and hope that there's another day.
All right. So the next question from, I guess, Katie, what do you turn to when you need some real comfort food right now?
One thing that I've been working on probably the last year and a half is not to use food for comfort, not to use food for rewards, to sort of find those in other things. And so I don't have, and it's great because I don't have comfort foods anymore. I no longer crave food when I want to be comforted because I've come to appreciate that comfort comes from thinking about memories or having experiences. It's not actually the food. And so I guess I found new ways to reward myself. So instead of celebrating with like food or champagne, we'll do other things like we'll save that money to go on a trip or I'll physically, instead of going and buying like a treat the way I would normally quote treat myself, I'll take that money out of my wallet and I'll put it in a jar and save it up to buy like these jeans or something for the house, like a painting. And that's what I've done. But for comfort food, if you still are at a point, and I was there for 8 years, where food was comforting to you and provided you some kind of solace, just make a healthier version of it. So one of my old comfort foods was cinnamon buns, and so I would often make the cinnamon bun smoothie. But if you can work to get away from that, it will change your life.
So Mary wants to know, excluding your own, what are your very favorite recipe? What is your favorite recipe?
Oh, actually, Chef AJ makes a dressing that I really love, which I've subsequently adapted because hers used it.
I would say you found your answer, yeah.
Because I love that dressing, the golden dressing. Yeah, it comes from a recipe she made, and I adapted it to be without nuts. And so that's probably my favorite.
I would say that's probably one of my favorite. I'm not someone who usually likes favorite or does favorite the favorites thing, but
yellow dressing.
Yeah, that's a fantastic book.
Pretty amazing. And the recipe's in the forums if you want to make it.
What is it called again?
It's the golden dressing.
Golden dressing.
Yeah. That's really yummy.
All right. So Laura says, how often do you stop to evaluate where you've been, where you want to go, and what needs to change? What's new and exciting with Happy Herbivore that we can expect? And can you also come live with me so I can cook for so you can cook for me? We hear this a lot.
Yeah. If you don't want me to come live with you, because I will also like throw tons of your stuff away. Apparently every time we stay with friends, I end up organizing their stuff and being like, we're going to throw all this away. And they're like, what did you do? And I can't help myself. It's so bad.
Cleaning.
I can't help it. It's just so bad. And some friends really like it. Like my best friend, Jim, like begs me to come stay with him so I can do this to his house. And other friends are like, what happened? We just had a lot of new stuff happen with the meal plans. They got reformatted and we just had a massive annual sale. So it's a pretty casual auto. We have right now we have Meal Mentor University going on. So there's new stuff happening every week with that. But I guess we're pretty low key otherwise. What were the other questions? Something about.
I mean, she was just saying, I think the question...
There's something about evaluating where I've been, where I want to go. Every day I do that, really.
Yeah.
I mean, it's my OCD and workaholic nature is I'm always kind of like, okay, check that off. What's next? And another thing I've been working on is being more mindful and being in the present and not thinking about the past or about the future. And something that I got from studying meditation is like, you wouldn't pay to see a bad movie 50 times. So why do you relive the same bad thing over and over and over your head? Like, why do you just keep replaying something that you maybe wish you wouldn't have said or something that hadn't happened? So I was like, oh, yes. If you're too busy always constantly thinking about the future and where you're going, you can't like see where you are now. And that's definitely true. Like, I would hurry up and race and get to a finish line, and I had no memory of how I got there. I didn't appreciate it at all. And so I've really been trying to stop doing that. Like, why is it as soon as like, oh, yay, I lost 10 pounds, am I immediately not like focusing on losing the next 10? Like, why can't I just stop and appreciate and be proud of myself?
You need to, and this is something we're trying to learn to be better at, because I don't think we do a good job of it at all, is celebrating success and celebrating like good things. And, every day that you go out and your car starts, or you know, mm-hmm. you can be simple stuff, right? But I mean, we are definitely bad about not celebrating stuff often enough. And you know, I think that's, believe it or not, from like the whole meditation thing, they actually call it monkey mind. So when you can't focus on like the present, and or you're obsessing about something that happened in the past, you know, that's a kind of a more casual term, that the monkey mind. You need to like be focusing on what you're doing in the moment, and that's
really kind of yoga is what's doing for us too, is like having that gratitude that every day you get to practice is a gift. Every time you get to practice is a gift. And one of our classmates actually was recently diagnosed with cancer, and she's a mother of four. And she said that as she's sitting there in chemo, all she does is visualize walking up the steps to yoga class and practicing. And it's like, and when she's there, when we actually get to see her and see her practice, like, I want to cry, because I'm like, that is the gratitude.
Yeah. All right. So on to Lindsay's question, what is your favorite novel and favorite movie?
Well, I guess I should go with what first came to my mind. So the first thing that came to my mind for favorite movie was Independence Day, and I'm horribly embarrassed by that. But at the same time, I've also seen it about 100 times. However, I have R2-D2 tattooed on my leg, so let's hope that Star Wars is my favorite. But there's a lot of movies that I really liked, and it's often, I guess it just depends on my mood and what kind of stayed with me. And like, I just thought Inception was incredible.
Yeah.
And there's some movies, I think because we live in LA, we always break things down like, oh, this person had the best performance in this movie. Like, you know, that it, like, I had such admiration for Matthew McConaughey and Jared Leto when they did Dallas Buyers Club. Even though that movie itself wasn't necessarily my favorite ever, I was like, wow, their performance. My favorite novel, you know, I was, Beach Music, Pat Conroy.
Yeah.
That was the first thing that came to my head. And then I was like, well, I liked this one memoir, which is Learning to Float by Lili Wright. But I think maybe that was just right for me at the time I read it in that part of my life.
Yeah, being young.
And then we were just talking about how both of us, when we were children, loved those Choose Your Own Adventures. Even though I couldn't name a specific one. Like, that was definitely my favorite novel. You know, I really, I couldn't put down The Hunger Games. I read them all in one straight through. Oh, and what was that? Freedom and Damon that we both loved.
Demon.
Oh, yeah. So good. Why is that not a movie yet?
Daniel Suarez. Yeah. Those are really good.
And we're both reading The Martian now and loving it.
The Freedom and it's Demon and Freedom TM.
The Audible book.
They're both science fiction. So
amazing. I didn't even think I liked science fiction. Then I read that and I was like, hey, yes, I do.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny because that's the thing. You have to self-identify, right?
I wasn't ready, I guess.
She was not self-identifying as a sci-fi fan, even though anybody who likes Star Wars likes sci-fi.
I have R2-D2 on my leg.
I know.
He's right there.
Yeah. If you like, it's like, I don't like sci-fi, but I like Star Wars. Yes.
Yeah. But I've read Mindless Eating 14 times. Not a novel, but I guess that's my favorite book. I'm actually reading it now at Mule Mentor University for like lucky number 15.
What does your team does your team actually make every single food item on your meal plans?
Every recipe is made, tested, and eaten. Maybe not by all of us, but everything is tasted and tested and photographed. And as for the meal plans, most everyone uses them. We all use them in different ways. So for Scott and I tend to make like family recipes, and then we have one for dinner, and then we take leftovers for lunch. But sometimes if Scott's got a lot going on, when he was playing baseball, he was gone with practice and his baseball games all the time. So I was often just doing like an individual plan because I was just feeding myself. And then sometimes I also make more food because I know Carly's going to be here, or, Elizabeth or Allison might be around. So it really depends. Whereas Carly, she often will make, even though she lives by herself, she'll often make the family plan because she doesn't want to cook a lot. So she'll make a family plan recipe and then eat it for 4 days. Or sometimes she'll do the individual plan. So we all kind of use them differently, but we all definitely use them in our own ways. And that's what I love about the meal plans, is it really kind of fits every family dynamic need. Mm-hmm. You just got to find your stride.
So the next question is from Eileen on Facebook, and says, where are you planning on going for your next grand adventure?
Oh, well, we leave on Saturday for 3 weeks through a bunch of national parks. It's Bryce Canyon, Zion, the Grand Canyon.
Yeah, most of the stuff in Utah, and a little bit in kind of Arizona, and I don't know. Mm-hmm. So... Yeah.
And we just came back from Vegas, although that wasn't very grand. It was just 2 days, but
yeah, it's good. We're taking an RV and bringing the dogs.
Dogs are coming.
Lots of hiking. So
yeah, and it'll be fun because it worked out so well because our friends of ours are getting married, and so they're going to get to use our house.
Yeah.
So that's going to be fun.
All right. So the last question in this series of
randomness.
Do you like it when you get recognized by your fans when you're out? I also think you should plan a trip to the Tampa Bay area in Florida so I can meet you here. Oh, and I'd love it if Mama Herbivore would do a podcast.
Yeah, I'm planning to have my parents on the podcast. I probably individually, because they'll just talk over each other. I actually, you know, it's funny. Tampa is where I lived for a lot of years. Well, I lived in the Tampa Bay area. I went to Palm Harbor University High School. My sister actually still lives in the area. I can't remember the last time I've been to Florida. Do I like it when I get recognized by fans? I do. It's sometimes awkward. I recently got recognized in a bathroom, so that was a little weird, but fun. And I took a selfie with her. I guess the only thing that weirds me out is when people will see me but not say hi, and then they'll either subsequently tell me they saw me or they'll post that they saw me, and I'm like, what? Can you say hi? Tweet about seeing me or when I'm eating or something, and so that's kind of weird. But usually I really like it, and everyone's really, they're fun. I mean, it's never like, I hate you. It's always like, I love you. And they want to give me a hug. And I'm like, I love you too. But my favorite is people are like, hey, Lindsay, when I'm in Whole Foods, or sometimes, people, they're not sure if it's me. That's my favorite, is they'll circle by a few times. And I want to be like, that's me. Are you looking for me? You know, I never know what to do. I'm always worried. I'm going to be like, do you know? Yes. And they're going to be like, who are you? It's weird. But my friends, if you ever do see me out in the wild and my friends start laughing, it's not you. They're making fun of me because they're so inappropriate all the time.
Yes, yes. Yeah, we've gone to, I guess they were vegan themed events that weren't necessarily like, you weren't there to like speak or anything.
Oh yeah,
like
I was just like,
and you're wandering
there attending,
wandering around in the crowd, and somebody's like, oh hi, you know, and there's a pack of us. So
I do travel in a group, but it's except when I'm in a bathroom, then that's free range. But yes, my friends will be absolutely ridiculous about it.
We've exhausted all the questions.
All of them already?
I know. It's going to be...
Actually, it has been long. I think
it's a long episode. So thanks for having the patience to sit through all these questions. And obviously, you probably can always ask questions and see if they get ended up in the podcast, but you can always email support and we'll answer any questions you guys have too. So,
and like I said, you can ask me anything. I'm an open book. I don't see a point in being, I gave up my privacy when I became that before. Anyway, thanks everyone for your questions. And I hope you enjoyed this special birthday episode. Big thanks to my husband, Scott, for being my co-host and helping out today. So I didn't have to interview myself because that would have been awkward. And back to normal podcast next time. And if you want to learn more about the meal plans, visit getmealplans.com.
Bye.